Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Bet, five lines up from the bottom. We're going to discuss today, the sugya is about eggs, kosher eggs. The Tana Rabbanan, Luchim Beitzim Min Ovdei Kochavim B'chol Makom. You can purchase eggs from non-Jews, and Vein Choshishim, you don't have to worry, Lo Mishum Nevelot, that the eggs were a product of an Avela, V'lo Mishum Tarfut, or it was a product of a Treifa. V'dilma De'ov Tameinenu. Okay, forget about Nevelot and Treifot. I'll agree that they are in the minority. But what about the possibility that this came from Of Tamei? So Amar Avua Dishmuel, but Omer shall Of Ploni Tahor, where the non-Jew is selling the egg, identifies the bird from which it came from. The particular bird which it came from, because then you can go and check. In these cases, when we say, the Varsha Nachru Yocholim Labchin, in areas where we can check what he's saying, Lavi Beitzei Otov, we'll bring another egg from that same bird, they wrote, Im domim leo lo mishaker. Person doesn't lie when you know you can check up on him. People only lie when they think that there's no way for you to check what they are saying or to verify what they are saying. Over here, where we can verify what they're saying, if they identify the bird and they're selling the eggs, no problem. Balema shalov tahor. What happens if he just says it's an of tahor? He doesn't identify the particular bird, but just says it comes from a kosher bird. Iyachit le lishtimute. So then he can slip out of it. And then he can be a little bit slippery and say, listen, you know, I meant this bird, it was the other bird. If you can't hold him to a particular bird, if he doesn't make a specific statement, then we don't trust him. So when it says, libdok b'simanim, why can't you just check the egg's simanim? Tatanya, ki simane beitzim, kach simane dagim. When it comes to the simanim of beitzim of eggs of fowl, so too are the simanim of fish. When it says, simane dagim, the simanim of fish, achadatcho, snapir v'kaskeset, amrachmana. What do fins and scales have to do with eggs? Ella, Ema, they have to say, kach simane ubrei dagim. So too, when it comes to the roe of the fish, when it comes to the eggs of the fish, they have the same din as the eggs of the fowl. They have the same identification, knowing that they're kosher or not. Betanya, gabe beitzim, and we have a bright of a beitzim. Elohen simane beitzim. What is the siman of a beitza? Sukoshe kulderet ve'agul golet rosha echad, kad, rosha echad chad, Torah. This is a way you can identify a kosher egg, is, as Rashi says here, the difference between agulgolet and kuderet is that if you had just said agulgolet, I would have thought it was the shape of a lentil seed. The shape of lentil seed, which is oblong, but it's flatter, right? It doesn't have that third dimension, whereas kuderet, which means like a ball or circular, adds that third dimension, right? A rounder feel to the egg. That's what Rashi differentiates between agulgulet, which is somewhat whether circular or oblong, but doesn't really deal with the third dimension of height. Whereas the koderet, which gives you a ball or spherical shape, that deals with that third dimension. But on top of that, we say one side is kad, and one side is chad. One side kad meaning like a pitcher, but it's rounded, and one side is chad is pointy. So that means one side is much rounder and the other side is pointy. The shape of an egg is called an ovoid. So the oval shape would be created if everything was symmetrical. So the ovoid is when only one side is symmetrical, which is the rounder side, and the narrow side is not symmetrical. And that's what we have here by an egg. It tapers off. That's the kosher egg. Bet roshei kadin, if both sides are rounded, meaning that they are of equal, they're spherical in that sense. Here we're talking about it has the oval shape, but in the third dimension. Then, oh, Beit Rashim Chadim, if they're pointy, they come to that oblong shape in the third dimension. Also, when both ends taper off, Tmeim, then you know for sure the eggs are Tmeim. Chelbon Miwachutz, if the Chelbon is on the outside, now Chelbon, as Rashi says, is albon, or from the word albumin, which is the protein, the white, is on the outside. Bechelmon, being the yolk, or the yellow, Mibifnim Torah. Obviously, the makeup of the word is lavan, and lemon, or limon, is yellow. So the white on the outside, the yellow on the inside, Torah, then it's a kosher egg. Chalmon mibachutz, on the other hand, if the yellow or the yolk's on the outside, the chalbon and the proteins are on the inside, tmeah, then for sure it's problematic. Chalmon v'chalbon mi'uravim zebazeh, if they are mixed together, the chalmon and the chalbon, then be'aduashi beitzat hasheretz. Then for certain, it's the beitza of a sheretz. Now mixed together here doesn't literally mean that the white and the yellow are interspersed and mixed up. It rather means that there is no membrane that sits between them. There is no separating membrane between the yolk and the protein, the white and the yellow, as opposed to by the birds, where there is some sort of membrane that sits between them, even in non-kosher birds. there's a membrane that sits between them. No matter whether it's the yellow on the outside or the yellow on the inside, there is such a distinction between them. All right, so now, just quickly, the Rabbeinu Tam over here says about the word koderet, that instead of what Rashi reads, which is the word kadur, he reads it as something being round or spherical. The Rabbeinu Tam says that the koderet word here, the kuf, is from, not from the kuf of shimush. Who? Kiger. Sheolech v'golei ala eretz v'chavad yadayim, v'makom she'im akrim oto dor. So that's a kidur. So it's not the kuf is not part of the base of the word, like Rashi is saying, which is kadur, but rather it's kidur. And it's like someone who moves around, is wandering around. So to this egg, rolls over, it doesn't stand, it doesn't, can't be stationary in place because of the shape of the egg, it's gonna fall over or roll over. The Mer says, if I have these simanim, then I have my solution to my problem. Why do I need the, first of all, I need the non-Jew to tell me which bird it came from. I don't even need that. And forgetting about, if he just tells me an Ok Tahor, he just tells me nothing. I can just look at the egg, I should be able to identify whether it's a kosher egg or not a kosher egg. So Gemara says, from that you must conclude, Lo tzricha dechatuchot. Case where the egg's already cut open, pieces, so you can't identify the shape of the egg. The shape of the egg has now been destroyed, and you can't determine what the shape was in order to make that determination of whether the simanim are there. So libdok b'chalmon b'chalbon. Okay, forget about the shape of the egg, you can check with the yolk and the albumin. So b'trufot b'kara. They're already scrambled, they're already mixed in the pot, so there's no way, again, to identify where the yellow and where the white was. But it says, are you allowed to buy such an egg from a non-Jew? Batanya, we have a braita, ein mochrim beitzat treifa lo rid kochavim. A beitza that came from a treifa, a beitza that's problematic, it cannot be eaten by a Jew, you may not sell it to an ovid kochavim, element gain trufa bikara, unless you've scrambled it in the pan and then given it to him. So the fikach, ein lochim mehem beitzim trufot bikara. And therefore you can't buy it back from them, eggs that are scrambled in the kara. The problem being that if you sell the beitza treifa, which you know is from a treifa, you sell it to a non-Jew, the non-Jew then could go resell it to Israel and say, I bought it from this Israel and I'm reselling it to Israel. So if you allow him to just sell the egg as is to the goy, we're worried about the reselling of it to another Israel, and lost in translation will be the fact that it was from a treifa. So we worry about that. So what do we say? We make very particular demands on what egg you can sell to him. And we say, if it's a beitza treifa, you gotta scramble it up and then sell it to him. Because once you've scrambled it up and sell it to him, we have on the other side, you can't buy an egg that's scrambled from him. To make it that you can't buy any eggs from a non-Jew, that's a gzeira sheinam yocholim lamodba. That's something that's not reasonable. So we're not going to say you can't buy from a goy whatsoever. So how do we protect against an egg that was sold to a goy that's a treifa and then can be resold to a Jew? We say only sell it to him if it's in this status, which is that it's scrambled in a pan. But if that's the case, you can't buy from a non-Jew an egg that's scrambled in the pan. And that's our answer right now. Our answer right now is I can't check the simanim because it was cut up. Okay, fine, that's okay. What about the checking the albumin versus the yolk? Well, I can't check that either because it was scrambled up. Well, if it's scrambled up, you can't buy that egg from a non-Jew. So now I'm back to square one. Why can't I check through this simanim? So the answer to the Gemara is, Ella, it must be, I'm a Rav Zera simanim lab doraito. These simanim are not midoraito, not mina Torah. Dilo temahoch, if you don't say this, Amar Rab Asi, Shmona Sveikotain. We have eight birds that we just don't know whether they're kosher or not. Then we can easily just check, see what type of eggs they lay, and we'll know from the eggs whether these birds are Torim or not. Elishma mina, smiranim lab doraita. They are not doraita. They're helpful. They can help us identify certain things, but they cannot be the determination of something's kasher or not. So alamai helkotok toni lo. So that's the basic question. If I have simanim, what's their value if they're not midoraita and I can't identify a kosher bird? So hachi kamar. The opposite is true. I can for sure identify non-kosher birds this way, which is bet roshei hakadim or bet roshei hakadim. If both ends are rounded or both ends are tapered, then or chalmon mibachutz v'chalmon mifnim, or I see that the yellow, the yolk's on the outside and the white is on the inside, badai tmeah. Then I can be conclusive that it's tmeah. So in terms of the simanim for sure identify for me something that is a bird that is tmeah. What it can't do is identify me a bird that is tehora. So if I have these simanim, I know it's tameh. If I have a simanim that it's kasher or the kasher egg simanim, that's not definitive. And therefore I don't know for sure that that bird is kasher. Reshei chad, chad, reshei chad, kad. If you have one side that is tapered and one side is rounded. V'chabon mibachutz, and you have white on the outside, v'chamon mifnim, the yolk and the yellow on the inside. And v'amar lachasho of ploni v'tahorhu. And then he tells you that it's from this particular bird, samoch aleihem. So then you could be samoch aleihem, meaning that you can use the simanim together with his statement that it came from a kosher bird, a particular kosher bird, that together, you can buy him. Stama, lo tismoch aleihem. If stam, if he just says, you know, it came from a kosher bird, that's not good enough. Deika de urva, de dami de diona. Because you have the raven, who has eggs that are similar to that of the dove. And since you have that, you can be confusion in the eggs. If there's confusion in the eggs, we can't rely on the fact that you have simanim in the eggs. We need two pieces of information. We need one piece of information is which bird it came from, in particular. And number two is, we need to know that these simanim are apparent in the egg, or that are there and available to us. So when you have both of those identifying factors, then you can say it's a kosher egg and you can buy it from the non-Jew. If you're missing either one of them, then you're problematic. If you're missing the simanim, then we know it's problematic, because we know the simanim of tuma would make it from an of tamei, or if I'm missing the identity of the bird that he got it from, that's also problematic because of this problem of similarity between eggs, between non-kosher and kosher eggs. Amar chalbon v'chalmon mu'avim. If the white and the yellow are mixed together, zebezev yaduashi beitzat sheretz, then I know it's for sure it came from the beitzat of a sheretz. L'may hilchoto. What does this help me out with? Amar avukma amar avar lamar shim rikma v'nikva. If it started to form inside, the sheretz started to form inside, v'nikva, and now there is a puncture in the side of the egg, a small hole in the side of the egg, then it'll be problematic. That'll help me and tell me that it's tamei. Because mitamaka adasho, it becomes like a sheretz. It's a full status of a sheretz. And if you come into contact with it, then you are tamei tumat sheretz. So matkiv la ravina v'dilma d'nachashi. How do you know it's one of the shretzim, the seven shretzim in the Torah that are tamei'im? Maybe it's the egg of a nachash, a snake. If it already formed or began to take form, and then he ate it, then you're chayav for sheretz asheretz al aretz, because then even if it's a snake is also a sheretz asheretz al aretz. So no matter what, the egg is an egg of a sheretz that's sheretz al aretz. If you eat it, you're going to get malkot for eating something that's sheretz al aretz. Or it says, ihochi ma'iria d'tmeya, afilu d'torah nami. Why does it have to be something that's tmeya? Even something that's Torah nami, d'tanya, kol sheretz asheretz al aretz. When it comes to the pasuk, sheretz asheretz al rabot, efrochim shalom niftichu enehem. That when it comes to birds, chicks, that are born, have yet to open their eyes, you're not allowed to eat them. So if you're not allowed to eat them, that means that it's also a shin of sheretz or sheretz ala aretz. So why does it matter that it's a beitzat sheretz? Any little chick that is born, as long as they haven't come to the point where they become a living being, or an active being, they also have a din of sheretz or sheretz ala aretz. So that's not only for snake eggs and sheretz eggs, but it's also for kosher eggs and chicken eggs. If there's a chick that's born out of these chicken eggs, and then you eat the chick before it opens its eyes, you have a problem. It says, that's midrabbanan. That's a dindrabbanan, and we call it smachta ba'alma. That's not a dindoraita. So we're talking about here a dindoraita. The dindoraita is limited to a sheretz or sheretz al aretz, and that'll be true both of an achash and the sheretz. Both of those have the din of sheretz or sheretz al aretz. If you eat them when they're already inside the egg have begun to form, you eat that egg, then you're chayav for sheretz or sheretz ala aretz. And that's why it's important to identify the egg. If we know it's a beitzat sheretz, then you're chayav for sheretz or sheretz ala aretz. But otherwise, when it comes to kosher chicks and something like that, where they haven't opened their eyes yet, that's a din derabanan, and it's only in a smachta from the pasuk. Obviously, you wouldn't get malkot midoraita for that. And now, just to go back, there's a fundamental tosfot over here about simanim lav doraita. Now, when it comes to simanim lav doraita, there are two points that tosfot makes. The first of which is that we have to distinguish between birds, fowl, and fish. When we say simanim lav doraita, amir rabbeinu tam, dedafka simanei beitzim. That's only true of the eggs. Mishum de'ika de'orev le'dom le'yona. As the Gemara says that there's the raven that is similar to the dove. Ava simanei ubrei dagim. When it comes to roe, when it comes to fish eggs, doraita yesh l'smuch aleihem. Mina Torah, you can be somech on this identification method, but they are Torim, that we don't have this mix-up in fish. This mix-up only takes place in fowl, does not take place in fish, and therefore by fish, the eggs, you can use this identification method, and to know whether the fish is kosher, and whether the eggs are kosherim, based on what we said here, about the one end tapered, one end is rounded, yellow on the inside, white on the outside, all these identification methods are really valid by fish, as opposed to here where we worry about the mix-up issue. Tosa says, Therefore, we eat the barbata fish. Problem is that it doesn't have scales, this fish. This fish only has fins, but no scales. And the assumption being that the scales somehow come off in the water. Or when it's in the water, or when you raise it out of the water, the scales come off. But he says, we're not certain of that fact. We don't know for sure that the scales come off. Nevertheless, we're so mech on the eggs to tell us that for sure this is a kosher fish. And then he says that the Yishalmi seems to indicate that you shouldn't be so mech on the simenei ubrei dagim, similar to what we have here by the beitzim of the ofot. Now, the Tosfot, right before it gets to the widest lines, the one line before that, says something that's fundamental, has a huge halachic impact here, and that is, ma shanu lochim min ovdei kochavim beitzim. Afal pi she'enam omrim shel ov ploni utarim heim. Shaul asked before, we know that rove of the birds are teorim, so why can't we be somech on that rove? If we're somech on the rove, that it's not an avela, it's not a treifa, why can't we be somech on the rove that it comes from a tahor bird? So that's exactly what Tosfos says now, basically a fundamental point which has implications for us today. You walk into a store and you buy eggs. We don't ask the question whether these are chicken eggs. We assume they are chicken eggs, and we buy them in stores in Chutz La'aretz. People buy eggs. I mean, even though the government does say that they are chicken eggs, but nevertheless, nobody's ever choshes. We assume that they come from chicken eggs. Why? So he says this, they don't say to us specifically what type of egg it is or where it came from. We're sumech on the fact that most of the eggs, the vast majority of eggs that are found amongst us, the shelofot harim heim, are from kosher birds. There's almost no non-kosher eggs that are floating around. So that not only does he take it one step further, we buy this ublish and kantiyush shiniloshu bebeitzim. It's some sort of dough that is mixed with eggs in it. Some sort of pastry that was made, a dough with an egg mixed into it. Even though you can't buy scrambled eggs from them, over here there's a problem. The mizdavin who of the chrim chufot bikara, shmamina mukhra milta Yisrael machram lo. The reason that he's selling them in the pan scrambled is because that's how he got them from the Yisrael, and therefore there's a riuto in the egg. Because that's an identification method to tell us that they are of treifot. About Isa shinilosha bebeitzim, dough that is mixed with eggs, lo chayshinan, we don't worry about it. Vazlinan batar rov beitzim, shenim shel treifot. Again, we go after the rove, that rove beitzim don't come from treifot, and this is good. Velo chayshinan shema yabahem dam, and what about the fact that maybe there's a blood spot in there? To rove beitzim, ein bahem dam. Rove beitzim don't have dam. That'll be today's second half of today's daf. We'll do that a lot more in detail. But we're worried. Don't worry about that. Umasim b'chol yom shanu ochlim beitzim megugalot. We eat scrambled eggs. Af b'shein yocholot libadeg. Even though they can't be checked, we're eating them without being able to check them. They're already scrambled before we come to them, and we don't check them. It's fine. Umiyu arenu tamay yosel dekach men ovde kochvim ublyush bekantiush. Truthfully, it was not oser. In the beginning of his life, he allowed it. Later on in his life, he regretted this or started to be choser b'dvarav and didn't allow people to buy it from them. Bishom bishulei ovdei kochavim. Because it was bishulakum. Afagav damar bishami patnim nuala vitiru. But even though this is really patakum, patakum is different than bishulakum. Patakum, we saw that they were mitar. Patakum, they reversed the gzera of patakum. They didn't reverse the gzera of bishulakum. Over here, we're dealing with patakum. You're dealing with an isa. Nevertheless, shani hachashin lo shubeitzim. They mix with eggs. V'nesru mitam shlakot. Shalaya bechlal aheter. Then they become like other cooked items, like cooked vegetables. Since there's an egg in there, the egg causes this not to be patakum anymore, but rather bishulakum. And because of that, it's problematic. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. That's why Rabbeinu Tam reversed his position. Later on the Tosfot, he brings down, and it seems to be all of his brothers, the Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, and the Rivam, all ate these Oibulish and this Kantiush. Tosfot says, Mira, Afagab Darmin Alocha Kamanda Asar Beitzim Mishum Bishulei Avdei Chachavim. Even though we pass on Alocha that eggs have a din of Bishul Akum, Mikom Akum Isa Shinilosha Beitzim, bread that is kneaded with eggs, Ein lo sur mishum de kimcho ikar. Because over there, what's the ikar? The ikar is the flour. Came into barachim alav amotzi lechem in aretz. The araya is that we make a brach of amotzi. It's bread. Ve'ano somchim al heter dirshami de pat. And therefore we're somech on dirshami that says pat akum is not problematic. And that is the tzad the heter. Right. Oh, past Patrin, but the Yishami is matter the gamre. Patrin says that it reverse katakum the gamre. Over here, he suggests there are two stages here. Number one is that by beitzim, we don't worry about them at all. Number one is because the robe of the beitzim found amongst us are kosher eggs. We don't worry about blood spots because robe beitzim don't have blood spots. We don't worry about treifot because robe beitzim are not treifot. That's the first stage in Tosfos. The second stage in Tosfos is that when they're cooked with dough, when they're kneaded together, the eggs are kneaded together with dough, they have a status of pak'akum, not a status of bishlakum. Rabbeinu Tam is not that way. Rabbeinu Tam says it is bishlakum, it's problematic. But his brother, the Rashbam, the Rivam, and the other Balei Tosfot said that it is pat'akum, and since pat'akum was nitar yedei Yishalmi, we're somech on that, and we can eat this from a goy. He gives us, we bake this dough that is baked with eggs is fine. Mihu, later on in Tosfos says there is an exception to that rule, and that is pashtida. Pashtida is found throughout the Shulchan Aruch. It's some sort of stuffed pastry. It's patabab kisnin. It's like a knish would be like that. Anything that's stuffed with different. It can be malay with basar, put in potatoes, but anything they want inside of it. That pashtida, listen to this, he says, umiu pashtida sh'afuwe kochavim sh'ashamnu ich hu be'en. That the fat is still around. The egg is still apparent on the pashtida. Then it becomes a problem of bishul akum. So he distinguishes between eggs that are kneaded into the dough by this ublish and the kantiush, where they're totally kneaded in, and for the moment they're cooked, the eggs are indistinguishable from the flour. Over there it's pat akum, and there's no problem with bishul akum. By the pashtida, on the other hand, the egg, or the fats of the egg, are apparent on the dough. They are not kneaded together. They are mixed together, but they are, at one point, the fats or the parts of the egg are apparent on the dough, even though later on they get absorbed into the dough. Because at one point they are apparent, they have a din of bishul akum, and that doesn't go away. And therefore, pashtida is problematic to buy from them. You cannot buy pashtida from them, even though you can buy this ublish and kantiush. That big distinction in bishul akum is whether the egg was totally subsumed and batel, the gabe, the flour, and in that case it becomes pat akum, which is not problematic, versus if the egg is not completely batel, even though later on it will become batel, that has a problem with bishul akum. So very fundamental tosfot over here, fundamental in a number of reasons. One is that the ability to buy eggs from non-Jews, that we're somech on the robe to buy from non-Jews. That's number one. And number two is the idea that bishul akum does not apply to eggs that are mixed with flour. As long as they're completely mixed in, there's no din of bishul akum over there. They have a din of pat akum, and if it's pat akum, as long as you think there's a heter by pat akum, then you can eat those breads. So this is very, very fundamental tosfot. Right, so in this way we pask in halacha. Achshav noagim, this is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Rambam paskins in a similar way. Achshav noagim likach beitzim b'stam mikol adam, lepi she'en beitzei of tamei matzui b'neinu. We buy eggs from anybody because eggs that we know are around us are always coming from kosher birds. They're all chicken eggs. Nobody grows ostrich eggs. Nobody's growing eggs that could be problematic. Right? Vulture eggs, eagle eggs. Hagah. The davka b'beitzim ashchichim is only by beitzim that are commonly found. Dainu beitzat tarnagolet. Of zot, kuyotzven, which are duck, geese eggs, chicken eggs, that's true. We don't buy from ofot that are of a similar quantity, or they are not more available than non-kosher birds, until we check it with the simanim, as we explained. So basically we are sumech, this Tosfot turns out to be the halacha, that as long as we're talking about basic eggs, like chicken eggs and duck or geese eggs, those eggs which are much more common than the tmeim eggs, we can be sumech ala rov, and we can purchase those eggs even from the non-Jews. Alright, now we'll move on in the Gemara, move on to the issue of the blood in the eggs. And that is this next part of Sugya Tanra Banan. Gi'ulei beitzim mutarot. When it comes to gi'ulei beitzim, they are mutar. What is gi'ulei beitzim? Machloket Rashi and Tosafot over here. Rashi says gi'ulei beitzim is a beitzat me'ash nitvashlaim Torah. A non-kosher egg that's cooked together with a kosher egg. Now assuming that they're both still in their shells, we assume that there is no passage of flavor from one to the other. It's just water that's moving back and forth. There's no passage of flavor, and therefore the kosher egg remains, kosher remains not problematic when it's cooked in such a manner. That's what Rashi calls gi'ulei beitzim. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi and says that he doesn't think that's the case. Gulei beitzim, first of all, it's not topical. It's nothing to do with what we're speaking about over here in the Gemara. And therefore, he says that gulei beitzim, he brings down from the Oroch, Nira kamosh perish Oroch, shehi ku atarna golet al beit rachma. They gave a whack to the chicken by its womb. Umapelet beitzim, and it dropped eggs. Shelo nigmaru, that were not finished. Velo ayri midei bibishol. It's not talking about cooking at all. Rather, talking about unfinished eggs. These are incomplete, unfinished eggs. By hitting the chicken, they're able to get the chicken to dispense the egg, even though it's not complete. That is called geulei, from the word ga'al, meaning disgusting, or not finished, instead of geulei of the chamim, here being the cooking, the bishul. So that's what the Oroch explains. Tosfot brings that the Lashon Rishalmi sounds like the Rashi, and Lashon HaTosefta sounds like the Oroch. So you have a Tosefta supporting the position of the Oroch, you have Rishalmi supporting the position of Rashi, but they happen to be both true, which is that eggs that are cooked together are not problematic if they're in their shells. And the other is true, that if you take out the unfinished egg, but it dispenses an unfinished egg, the chicken, that you can eat that, and that's not a problem with kashrut. So those are two halachot that have to be true, but the difference in the Rishonim, how to explain this. Beitzim muzarot, nefesh yafeh tocham. So beitzim muzarot, at least the way Rashi explains them over here, she'enam shel zachar. These are unfertilized eggs. Ve'en afruach kalut ba'em li'olam. They will never have a chick out of them because they're unfertilized eggs. But they've been sat on by the bird for a long time. The bird has still incubated them beyond the point of when they needed to be there. And so therefore, what's inside the egg has become, I guess, disgusting, broken down a little bit. So that's what it says here, nefesh yafeh tochlem. Someone who is not so particular will eat them. It's not a problem with kashrut, it's just a problem of people, whether they can handle, like eating, they eat raw eggs, people, some people eat raw eggs. So over here, these people have these eggs that have been incubated over time that are not fertilized eggs. If a person eats them, then only someone who is not so particular will eat such an egg. Right, about the shaksa, right. Now, this is the big part of the sugya. In Nimzalei HaKoret Dam, if you find a spot of blood on the egg, Zureka Dam, you remove the spot of blood, Vokhela Tashar, and you can eat the remainder of the egg. No, this is a regular, it can't be. Beitzim Muzarot will never have dam in them because they're not fertilized eggs. It seems here that are fertilized eggs, and you find a spot of blood in them, you can remove the blood and eat the egg. The next four lines are massive machlokas bishonim about how to explain them, and they have nafkaminot about the egg itself. I'll do it first according to Rashi, and then we'll go back and discuss the other Rishonim. Rashi says, first of all, Amari Rirbiya, Vushim Tzah Kesher Shela. That's only true if the blood spot is found on Kesher Shela. Kesher Shela is the contribution of the Zachar. It's the semen, the contribution that the male bird makes to the egg, which, this also happens to be a Machlokes Rishonim, where is that found? Is it found on the chad side, on the narrow, tapered side of the egg, or is it found on the rounded side of the egg? Rishonim argue both. It happens to be that it probably is on both sides. Kesher is found on both ends, but the Rishonim discuss which end it is. Rashi over here says that it's on the kadur, kad side, on the rounded side of it. See, Rashi says, who is zera shel tarnagol kosher b'roshu ha-kad shel beitzah, on the rounded side of it. Misham yitzirat efroach matchila. And from there, that's where the chick begins to develop. So if you have a blood spot over there, you know that's because of the beginning development of the chick. So that you got to take out. Tani Rabbi Dustai Avud Rabbi Aftoriki Lo Shenu Lo Shnimzal Chalbon Shalat. That's only when it's found in the white part of it. Aval Nimzal Chalbon Shalat. It's found in the yellow and the yolk part of Filu Beitza Asura. Then even the egg itself becomes problematic. My Taima the Shoda Tichla Bekula, because the development of the chick has begun to spread throughout. The problem has spread. The egg is now already problematic because it's developing into a chick. The way Rashi reads this is that the statement of Tani Dudustai is modifying Rabbi Yirmiya. And so therefore, the Rabbi Yirmiya's statement that you can just take the blood out is true only when you find it in the kesher of the white part. If you find it in the kesher of the white part, then you can take the blood out, and you can eat the remainder of the egg, because you found it in the area that is the very, very first stages of the development of the efroach, of the chick. So there you remove the blood, you're fine, because the rest of the egg remains intact. Whereas, if it is found in the chelmon, in the yellow part of the egg, In the yellow part of the egg, that means that the development of the chick has already moved along far enough that the blood is now found in the yolk as well. Well, if it's found in the yolk as well, that's too far along in the development, and the entire egg becomes problematic at that point in time. Now, the way to read, the pashut to read Rashi is that we're only talking about the kesher by the white part, you're only talking about the kesher shela, and in the yellow part, it doesn't matter whether it's in the kesher or not in the kesher of the yellow part, as long as there's blood in there, it becomes problematic. The Rosh reads Rashi as being that it's a kesher of the yellow and the kesher of the white. That just like by the kesher of the white part, it's problematic, so too by the yellow, it's only when it's in the kesher shela is it problematic, that it's spread. And then the Rishonim explain Rashi that Rashi's belief is that if it expands, the blood moves from the kesher in the white part, either out into the remainder of the white or into the yellow part, that is problematic because then it means the efroach is developing and that is a problem in the egg. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rishonim argue on Rashi from two perspectives. One is this idea that the kesher is relevant at all. And number two is, are we talking about the egg or the blood? There is the Rif and the Rambam who don't mention the word kesher at all. Their distinction they simply make between the white and the yellow. So they don't see Rav Dustai as being an extension of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rashi says Rabbi Yirmiyah, who makes the statement about the kesher, then is being modified by Rav Dustai, who says that the yellow and the white. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam make a distinction between yellow and white that has nothing to do with the kesher. They say, if you find the blood in the white, take the blood out and it's fine. Find the blood in the yellow, the egg is problematic. So that's with the Rambam and the Rif. The Rambam and the Rif learn that it has nothing to do with the kesher. It all has to do with the white and the yellow. And therefore they see Rav Dustai as arguing under Rabbi Yirmiyah, or a separate statement from Yirmiyah, nothing to do with Rabbi Yirmiyah. There is a third class of Rishonim, and that is the Rosh and other Rishonim in that category, who make a distinction. And they say as follows. According to Rashi, the blood is never mutar. The blood is always problematic. It's just a question of the egg itself. If it's in the white end of the kesher, you can take the blood out and you can eat the egg. Whereas if it's found in the yellow, then the egg itself is asur. But the blood is always problematic according to Rashi. If the blood is found in the kesher of the white, the blood is problematic. You take the blood out and the white of the egg and everything else is fine. If the blood is found in the yellow of the egg, let's assume now in the kesher of the yellow of the egg, then we assume that it's problematic and the whole egg is problematic. If the blood is found in the white of the egg, that is not the kesher. It's not the kesher, it's not the part where the zachar contributed, but in the white of the egg, they say not only is the egg mutar, the blood is mutar. You can eat the egg with the blood in it, it's not problematic, because that blood is not an Israel blood at all, because that's not the blood that we're worried about. That's not going to develop into an efroch. That's not going to develop into a chick. That blood that's found in the white has nothing to do with the development of a chick. That's just some sort of loose blood floating around that's not problematic, and that's based on the Mishnah and Kritot. The Mishnah and Kritot says that when it comes to Dam Beitzim, in Chayavin Aleim, there's no problem with Dam Beitzim because they're not a type of flesh. So only when it's in the kesher and it can develop into a flesh do we worry about it. But when it's not in the kesher, we don't worry about it because it can never develop into flesh and therefore it's not problematic. So according to these Rishonim, if the dam is found in the white, it's not problematic at all unless it's in the kesher. And the same might be true in the yellow. It might be that only when it's found in the kesher of the yellow is it problematic, whereas when it's found in just the yellow itself, it's not problematic, although those Rishonim lean in favor of saying that when it's found anywhere in the yellow, it's problematic, because they've already choshesh that it moved through the kesher, moved over, and then we worry about this being some sort of form of development. According to these Rishonim, if you find blood in the white, you can go ahead and eat the egg with the blood. There's no problem whatsoever. And that's what Tosfot is mistupak about over here. Is there an isur Doraita of blood in an egg? Is there an issue Doraita at all? Because of that Mishnah in Kritut. He has to deal with the Mishnah in Kritut. So one way to deal with it, it says, yes, there is an issue Doraita. The Mishnah in Kritut is dealing with those aspects when it's not Doraita. The other way is to say, no, there's no issue Doraita. This is all a Din Darabanan. And also it has both Sadim over here. And that may be that's the difference maybe between the arguments between Rashi. Rashi believes that there is an issue Doraita of blood in eggs. And you'll have to say that the cases where there's no problem with the blood and eggs is maybe still a din derabanan problem, and that's in the situations where it's not developing into nefroach, but nevertheless it's still a sur, it's just not a sur deoraita, versus the other Rishonim are suggesting that there is no isur whatsoever when it comes to blood and eggs. Therefore, we only asur it when it's on the kesher. When it's on the kesher, we asur it, that's the din derabanan, but when it's outside the kesher, we're not going to worry about it whatsoever. Or the people like the Rosh who say that when it's on the Kesher, it's Nisidor, right? Outside of that, we don't worry about it. Unless it's spread to the yolk, then we worry about it. So that's a machlokas between the Rishonim over here. Obviously, it has implications we'll see in a second for the halacha that's brought down. Then, we have another statement in the Gemara, which also raises a third, another machlokas Rishonim. All the Rishonim read it one way, except for the Ra'ah in the Berak Abayit. Ra'ah in the Berak Abayit reads this Gemara just the opposite of all the other Rishonim. And therefore, he creates another Chumrah on eggs that we have that's brought down in the Ramah. Which is this. Amalei Rav Gviya mi Beit Katil, the Ravashi, Ipcha Tani Tana Kamedra Abayit. And somebody brought a brighter in front of Abayit that had just the opposite, meaning that the opposite of the yellow and the white, saying that it was problematic in the white, not problematic in the yellow. Vabayihu the Tarts and the Alei Hochi. And Abaye answered it up and reversed it. That would be the normal way to read this. That, if I said you're reading it wrong, you've got the yellow and the white mixed up. The white is fine, it's the yellow that's problematic. So that's the end of the statement. That's how all the Rishonim read it. Rashi reads it, all the other Rishonim read it this way. The Ra'ah says that's not the standard practice of Amoraim. Amoraim, when somebody brings into them a Braita or a Tanaic work which is incorrect, that is reversed, they say, poke the bara, throw it out. That's not real. They do not go and make a statement like this that they fixed it up. They just say, throw that out. That's an incorrect quotation. That's an incorrect braita. That's a wrong girsa in the braita, and they say poke the bara. The fact that Abaye over here says mitartzta, the Ra'ah says, you know how he's mitartzta? He learned it this way. Abaye explained it with the yellow and the white. And therefore he thinks that it's problematic in the white, not problematic in the yellow. So you can see how that raises a huge issue. Until now we're thinking that the only problem is when the blood's found in the yellow. Now, when it's found in the white, you can take it out and you can eat it. At least, according to the most machmir of the Rishonim, just take the blood out when it's in the white and you can eat it. But now, according to the Ra'ah, if you find blood in the white, it's equivalent of finding it, like all the other Rishonim, in the yellow. That means that it's spread out and it's problematic. And you can't eat it at all. You can't eat the thing. Even if you take the blood out, you can't eat it. Because that's the reverse of the Ra'ah. So that Ra'ah creates a Chumrah that's brought down, and we'll see this in a second, in the Rishonim. So if we do this, we take all the Rishonim together, we come out with the Psak Halacha. First of all, the Rambam. The Rambam, we said, like the Rif, brings down the fact that it has to do with the yellow and the white. Nimsa Lea Koret Dam. If you have a spot of blood, the Rambam, this is Rambam in Machalot HaSuvot Perek Gimel Halacha Tat. Imal Achel Bon. If you find it on the white, Zareka the Dam, you throw out the blood, Ochel Tashar, you eat the rest. See, the word Kesher is not mentioned whatsoever here in the Rambam. Imal Achel Bon. If you find it on the yellow, Asura Kula. So he basically has Rav Dustai, the way we read it, but Rav Yirmiyah is not relevant. I mean, that Rav Dustai is arguing on Rav Yirmiyah, and that's it, that's the Rambam in the Rif. The Agot Mamoniot brings this bring, because you can see through the Agot Mamoniot, the other Rishonim. B'chozer Mari, Shinim Tzal Kesher HaChelbon or Kesher HaChelmon. He says it's only when it's found on this part of the Kesher, of the white, or the Kesher of the Chelmon, meaning the contribution of the Zachar, or the contribution of the Nekevan. Av Nimsa Shalol HaKesher, Af Adam Mutar. It's not found on the Kesher, even the Mudam is Mutar. That's like the Rush, like all those other Rishonim, who say that the only problem is when it's on the Kesher. But when it's found outside of the Kesher, it's even the Dam is Mutar. Forget about the egg, the Dam itself is Mutar. Rashi perish, nimtza la Kesher achelbon, v'nit pashet l'chutz av ha-beitza asura. Even the beitza is problematic, aval im in Dam klal ala Kesher modesh akol Mutar. Then the Ravot Mamani writes what Shaul was asking about before, which is, ustam beitzim ein srichim bidika. Ustam beitzim do not need a check for blood spots in them. And he says, "V'od usomchim arav beitzim she'inam shal of treifa utam zelo chayshin l'shem ayaven dam to rov beitzim ein bayam umasim b'chol yom she'ochlim beitzim tzluim." We eat roasted eggs. Avapish she'in yochlim nivdok. You can't check them. Avapish she'in gilod lebodkam tchila. Even though we normally check them, k'shirotzim lasov mehem tavshil or tagnam, when we want to make something into a dish or we want to use them as a basting, we do check the egg. Nevertheless, kiyotz ben chumra ba'amahu. That's just the chumra. If they're not checked in the beginning, then they are fine. So that's the Agot Mamoni who bring us the tzad of the other Rishonim. Now, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch, kind of a mixture. He's a mixture between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. And then you have the Ramah who brings us the Chumrot. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Nimtza leha koreit dam. If you find a spot of blood, Zareka the dam, v'chol tashar. You throw out the blood and eat the rest. That's only when it's found on the white. If it's found on the yellow, I call beitza asura. That's a direct quote from the Rambam. That's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes it for the Rambam. But nevertheless, the first Sif and Sif Bet, the Shulchan Aruch is in Siman Samach Vav, that was Sif Gimel. Sif Bet, he writes, Dam beitzim, in yadu ashu merukam ha'efroch, it comes to the place where the development of the chick is, Then chayivin alav. Then you're chayivin. Avi meinu yodeh shu merukum ha'erfroch in chayivin alav. Avi chamim asur. The chamim made it asur. So but there, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be leaning towards the idea that it has to do with the development and not just the white and the yellow. It has to do with the development of the erfroch. Over here, it seems to be that he goes with the Rambam's distinction that there's nothing to do with the kesher. Then you have the Ramah. The Ramah in Siv Gimel says, Agah. V'yishamim, dimitzah shal kesher ha-chelbon, gam mi-bachutz, dainu mit-bashet min-a-kesher. If it's found on the white part by the kesher and spread out, the whole beitza asura. That the whole beitza is asura, that's the Rosh, in name of Rashi, that everybody's machmir in that case. V'yish machmirim od, shchol nimtzah la-kesher shal-chelbon, afilo nit-bashet klal asura. That even if it's found on the kesher of the white, even if it hasn't spread, the entire thing is problematic. From that, the minhag spread. That any dam that's found is problematic. Make no distinction between the yellow and the white. And the places where they do take out the dam and eat the beitza. But makom de mutar, it's a richly tol kdei klipa. To take off not just the dam, but take clear around in the dam, kshazorko. So that's the ra'ah. The ra'ah is that it doesn't matter. Even if you find it in the kesher of the white side, the entire egg is asur. That's based on the ra'ah in the berak habayit. So that, those were machmir for that ra'ah. And therefore we come up with a situation where any blood spot that's found in an egg, we toss the egg. We don't keep it. And then he brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down what we saw in the Galut Mamoniot, is mutar echol beitzim sluyot, af mishinam yicholim livadek. Even though you can't check them, you can't check them, nevertheless they're okay. And that's what the Ramah says. You don't have to check eggs at all. The minhag is to be machmir, if you had the opportunity and you can check, why not check? So we're machmir to check when you can. But if you do it at night where you couldn't see it, we don't worry about it. If it was already done and nobody checked, we just let it go because all the robe, it's fine. So, enochanami, ala robe, you don't have to worry about these things, but, yeah, if we have the opportunity to check, we're machmir to check, and the same is true with the finding of the spot of blood, even though there's a lot of room to be makil, in terms of finding spots of blood, both to be makil in terms of the blood itself, as well as the egg itself, nevertheless, we're machmir, as the Ramah says, to throw out any egg that we found damin, we're choshish the shita tara'ah, choshish the shita the Rambam, the Rif, Rashi, and the Rashi, the Rosh Bas. We take the chumrot of all of them, and we make all the eggs asurim. Right. So the Rashba says what you're saying, that if it's a non-fertilized egg, then there's nothing to worry about in terms of blood. So based on that, if you have unfertilized eggs, then for sure the blood should be totally fine according to the Rashba. Then you'd be somewhere from the Gemara in Kritut that says that dam beitzim is not a problem because it can never be min basar over there. So right, so today where we have these eggs that are non-fertilized eggs, but it makes sense if you extrapolate that Rashba, so even though the other Rishonim disagree when it's a fertilized egg and a day old egg, but if you take the unfertilized eggs, to me it seems that it should be no problem whatsoever according to this. Yeah, here. Rekata v'kolbo, this is the shach in your day, siman samach vav, od vav. Kolbo, de benimsa l'chelmon, shi asura, afilu hi beitza bat yuma, de lo polug rabbanan. Even if it's a day old egg, no polug rabbanan. Fekata v'beit Yosef, but the shach's only speaking there about a beitza bat yuma, which is a fertilized egg. But an unfertilized egg, it would seem really that the blood spot shouldn't be problematic, even though we are no egg to throw out eggs. Like lo shna, we throw out eggs, then we find blood spots in them. Alright, anyway, that's a lot of aloha the maisa. Just wanted to get it out. I'll send you out the makorot that we have so you can look it over yourself. Alright, so I'll just finish up the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Chizkia, minayin the beitza tmeya shi asura min haTorah. How do we know that a beitza of an of tmei is problematic min haTorah? Shneamar ved bat hayana. Bat hayana is the ostrich. So the bat hayana, the chi bat yeshla the yana. Why are we talking about the bat yana? Why are we just talking about the yana? So it must be, what's the bat of yana? What's the bat of yana? What's the derivative of the yana? Beitza. Tmeya. So when it says, that's how I know that it's a surah, because it's mentioned as the bat of yana, not just the yana that is a surah. Where it says, the dilma hainu shmahu. Maybe the name of the bird is called the bat yana. It's not that the bird's name is the yana, and bat is a derivative. Rather, bat yana is the name of the bird, is the ostrich. Lo saka datcha, you wouldn't say that. Dichtiv, because it says in Eicha, but amilach zar, ki ye'enim ba'midbar. It's interesting, the ktiv in the Eicha is ki enim. But anyway, it's ki ye'enim ba'midbar. Batami lachzar, my nation became cruel, like the ye'enim ba'midbar. But you see what they're called, the ye'enim here, it's called the ya'ana, not a bata ya'ana. Where it says below, is that really true? Ba'ktiv. In Micha it says, esem mispeid kitanim, ve'evel kivnot ya'ana. You'll make a mispeid like the reptiles, and an avel, right, an avilut. They'll be mourning kivnot yana, like the daughters of the yana. Well, vnot yana, it sounds like the name of the bird is vnot yana. It can't be talking about an egg over there, because it's talking about avel. Vnot yana are not, it was an egg. An egg is not the bat avel. It can be with an animal, they can make noise, they can make sounds, they can wail. That they can have avilut. But by a beitz, that's clearly not. So it's obviously the name is vnot yana. So the Gemara says no. Ki yana zu shemit abelet al banah. Kavnot yana over there doesn't mean that that's the name of the animal, but rather it's the yana who is mitabelet al banah. Vaktiv, and it says in Yeshayahu, v'shachnu sham benot yana, and that will dwell over there the benot yana. So again, the Gemara says no, no. Ki yana zu sheshochenim tim banah. It's like this yana that lives with its children. Not that this is, benot yana is the name of the animal or the bird, but rather yana is the name of the bird. Benot is just an indication of where it lives. It lives together with its children. Vachtiv, and it says, tichabdeini chayata sadeh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Yishayahu, that even the animals, the wild animals of the field will give me kavod, will give me honor. Tanim, uvnot yana, the reptiles and the benot yana. So over there, clearly they're talking about, and the puzzle continues, that they are singing shirat of Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you really think in the end that benot yana, benot means a beitzah, beitzah bat meimar shirahi, eggs don't sing songs. So it has to be that benot yana over there is referring to the animal itself. Echtim hayana, echtim bat hayana. The bird is called both. It's called a yana, it's called a bat hayana. That we have a mix of both. We have sometimes this way, sometimes that way. For shani hocha, the pasuk sifra l'shtei tevot. But over here it's different because the bat is separate from the yana. You have bat yana. So since it's bat yana, the bat has a different meaning than the yana. You have the yana is the bird itself, and the bat is the derivative of the bird, which is the beitza. So now it's just interesting to note over here that when you go into the, I went through a number of English translations. When you go through the English, they're not consistent. They do not translate benot yana or yeinim consistently. Sometimes they translate as an ostrich. Sometimes they translate as an owl. So if you look, even in the art scroll translations, in the Koran translations, all these translations, they do not keep a consistent explanation of what the bat yana is or yana, or differentiating between them. They mix and match them, and they change the translation in different locations, which is very interesting. Right now, Gemara says, "Umi pasuk lu safra betarte tevot." So they said, since it's split into two words, that means that it's two distinct items. One is the yana, the bird, and bat is the derivative of the word. It says, elamiato, if you want to say that, when it says in Breshit, et kedar laomer, kedar laomer is one of the five kings. Over there it says, kedar laomer. Our chumashim do not have it that way. Our Torah don't have it that way. Our Torah have kedar laomer as a single word in all places. But nevertheless, there seems to be some sora in Eretz Yisrael that they had a split between the word Kedar and the Omer. So what are you going to suggest over there? The Pasuk Lu Sifra Betray. The Torah splits it into two. Hachanami de Tarte Shmeininu. You're going to say that, what? They're two different names to this king? Kedar and the Omer? So Amri Hotam B'Shnei Tevot Pasuk Lu. Over there, we only split the words into two. B'Shnei Shitim Lo Pasuk Lu. You would never skip, bring it down to the next line. You'd write Kedar La'omer on a single line, even though there's a spacing between the words, you would never drop La'omer down to the next line. That is not true by the Batlana. V'hocha, filu b'shnei shitin, nami pasidlu. Over here, by bat ha'yana, you would split the bat and the yana. You put bat on one line, and then drop down to the next line, write yana. So the fact that you're willing to do that shows you that it's two distinct words. If it's two distinct words, then we can separate and say the yana is the ostrich, the bird itself. Bat is the derivative. Derivative being the beitza. And from that we know that the bat ha'yana, not only is the yana problematic, but the bat ha'yana is also problematic, which is the eggs of a non-kosher bird have an Issa D'oraita based on this. Okay, we'll stop over here.